Shmuley. The last couple of days we've been talking about the mitzvah of Bris Milah. There is a medrash in this week's parsha, the medrash Tanchuma, where we're told the following. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Nemar Mila Ba'avoda. We see by the mitzvah of Bris Milah that we have the term Avoda being used. V'nemar Bekarbanos Avoda. And obviously, most naturally, when we offer sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash, that too is referred to in Chumash as the Avoda. Ma'avoda Hamura Bekarbanos Damim. Just like by the sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash, we have to slaughter an animal and blood has to be spilled. Af avoda hamura b'mila damim. So too over here by Bris Milah, it requires that blood has to be extracted when we do the incision. And then the Medrash goes on and it says, Kivan sha'adam metif tipa acha shel dam. Once a drop of blood is spilled by the occasion of a Bris Milah, hi chaviva lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu kekarbanos. It is considered as beloved, as admired in my eyes, says the Ribbono Shel Olam, as had you offered a sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash itself. And not only that, writes the Medrash, the Fikach, because Avraham Avinu went ahead and did the incision and performed the Bris Milah, Nigla HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Avraham Avinu Kishemal. God had a special encounter. He revealed himself to Avraham Avinu on the occasion of the Bris Milah. So it seems from this Medrash that there is some sort of connection between a Bris Milah and the Karbanos and the Beis HaMikdash. Not only that, we have yet another Medrash in the Yalkut Shimoni. Kol mishu magish es beno lamila. Any father, any parent who offers their child, so to speak, to have the Bris Milah done to them, ki ilu koin gadol makriv minchasa unesacho al gabi mizbeach. That is comparable to the koin gadol who offers his Karbanos on the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash. So the assumption clearly is in the Medrash that a Bris Milah is in some way comparable to the offering of Karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. This is not just a nice agada and a nice idea that the Medrash shares with us, but in fact it has some halachic consequences as well. Because we consider a Bris Milah to be in some way comparable to a Karban, we have a number of halachic consequences. Number one, there's an age-old practice that we all have all over the world, and that is that we perform a Bris Milah inside of a shul. Rav Soloveitchik and many others were bothered. Where does that come from? What is that all about? A shul is not supposed to be used just to perform any mitzvah. A shul is certainly not supposed to be used for a mundane purpose. Not that a Bris Milah is mundane, but why do we choose the shul of all places? If we're going to have a big seuda, if we're going to have a big celebration after, why not do the Bris Milah somewhere else? So Rav Soloveitchik suggested the reason why is just a practical reason, because we don't want to be matriach people. Once they're in shul anyway for davening, and normally we do a Bris Milah early in the morning, mishum tircha de tzibura, we don't want people to have to go somewhere else, so we have the Bris Milah immediately following the davening in the shul. However, this is not the only answer that is given. That is obviously a very practical reason, but in the authoritative Sefer HaNilchos Milah, the Zecher David, he writes, Hamila nechasheves kekarban. The reason we do it in a shul is because the Bris Milah, like the Medrash says, is considered like a karban. The karban asa l'shochta b'chutz. You're not allowed to offer a karban outside of the Beis HaMikdash and not on the Mizbeach. And therefore, he says, l'chein, therefore the practice developed, that malin bebeis HaMedrash shehu mikdash ma'at. We try and reenact that old custom that we used to have, of that old mitzvah of bringing karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, and we have the Bris Milah taking place specifically in the Beis HaKnesses, which reminds us of a Beis HaMikdash. There are other achronim who say that not only do we try to do it in the Beis HaMikdash, but also we are careful to do the Bris Milah on Sad Tzafon, to do it on the northern side of the shul. Why? The Visha Beis HaMedrash Hu Migdash Ma'at, because a shul or a Beis Knesset or a Beis Medrash is considered like a miniature Beis HaMikdash, and therefore, the same way that in the Beis HaMikdash you would offer a karban, Bitsad HaTzafon, so too here, this is what we do. We offer the Bris Milah, which is in some way considered like a karban, on the Tzad HaTzafon. This Shari Tshuva, in the side of Shulchan Aruch, writes as well, Po b'kihilas brud, here in our community, in wherever he lived, Noagim, we have the practice, She'avi ha-ben hu ha-meniach es ha-tinok al-ragle ha-sandik. We have the practice that the father brings his child, and he is the one who puts the child onto the lap of the sandik. So we know today that you have a kvater, and then you have kisa shel Elio, and we give all kinds of kibudim, but then the moral always takes the child, gives the child back to the father, and the father is the one who gives it over to the sandik, writes the Shari Tshuva, u'minig yafahi. That's a very beautiful minag. Why? Where does it come from? Dekivan shehas sandik doma lemizbeach. Since we know that in some way this sandik is considered like the modern-day Mizbeach, V'ha'aba k'makir v'karban, and the father is like the one who is offering his sacrifice. Look, I'm willing to give my child, I'm willing to go through a very dangerous procedure. Shaykh Yoser la'aviya ben, he says, therefore the father is the one who should place the child on the lap of the sandik. Ki azhu zocha shia nechshav, ki l'maniyach hasbeno b'pol al gabi ha'mizbeach. That is considered as if you are taking your own child and putting the child onto the mizbeach, and this is where the minig has developed from. And that's the way the Shari Tshuva explains it once again, based on the Medrash in our Parsha, that a bris milah in some way is considered to be similar to the act of offering a karban. In fact, there's a comment that the Torah quotes in the name of the Baal Ha'iter. So he writes, Sha'avi ha-ben, we have a practice that the father of the child, Omed liyad ha-moel, at the time that the moel is doing the incision, at the time that he's doing the procedure, the father of the child is supposed to stand immediately next to him, lohodia shehu shlucho, and he should explicitly state to him that you are doing this on my behalf. I remember when we did one of our brisin, so the moel said, say after me, I am appointing you as my shaliach. So I didn't say exactly after him, I said, I would like you to be my shaliach. He said, no, not good enough, don't say you would like, say, I am appointing you my shaliach. Where does that come from? So the Torah writes, because one is supposed to be mimana a shliach when the person is doing the bris milah. Why is that? So he says, because efshur shehei karbanu shel adam karev hu eino omer al gabav. So the Vilna Gaon explains, what is this all about? So we have a Gemara in Maseches Tainis, where the Gemara tells us that the Chachamim, the Nevi'im, instituted 24 mishmaros. They used to spend time throughout the year in Yerushalayim. Everybody had a turn. Kohanim, Levi'im, Yisraelim, different groups of people. Everybody had to spend some time during the year in the Beis Hamikdash in Yerushalayim. Why? Because the Gemara says, every day we offer a Karban Tamid, and the Karban Tamid is really on behalf of the entire Jewish people. So how can you have a Karban being offered on your behalf, and you're sitting at work, and you're nowhere to be found? That doesn't make sense. If it's your Karban, you got to be there. But the whole Jewish people can't be there every day. So the Gemara says, we take a sampling of Jewish people from all over the place, and everybody has to take a shift, and everybody has to sit there at some point throughout the year to show we are going to be represented when our carbon is being offered. And so too over here, writes the Torah, because a bris milah is considered like a hakravas hakarbon, therefore the father should make sure that he is present and that he is standing there and that he instructs them all to do the bris milah on his behalf, because how can my carbon be offered without my being there? And this is once again, an application of this idea from our parsha that we find that a bris milah is considered to be like a karban. There is yet another idea, lahalacha, also based along the same lines, and that is what the Maimer Mordechai writes. And he says there is a practice that fathers, parents who have an opportunity to perform the mitzvah of bris milah, should not go to work that entire day. They should stay home from work that day. They're asur b'malacha. Where does that come from? So he says it comes very simply, because Tosis writes in Maseches Pesachim and Daf Nun, in the name of the Yerushalmi, that on the day that somebody offers a carbon on the Beis Hamikdash, you're asur b'malacha. Why? Because for you, that's considered a yomtiv. That's considered like a day of celebration for you. After all, you had the opportunity to bring a carbon. That's a reason to celebrate. You should be very excited. And therefore, he writes that was the practice in the days of the Beis Hamikdash. When somebody offered a carbon, you were asur b'malacha kol hayom. Writes the Maimer Mordechai, from there we have extracted the practice as well, that the day that we have the opportunity to perform a bris milah, we too make sure that we refrain from doing malacha that day, and we don't go into work, we stay home, maybe we enjoy each other's company, and we take care of all the guests that came in, but more importantly, we do have this practice. So the Pri Chadosh already points out, this might be taking it a little too far. He says, it's a very nice minig, if a person wants to stay home from work, they certainly have the ability to, but he says, to argue that every parent who does a bris milah has to stay home for that day of work, that's taking it a little too far, and that's really something that he says is certainly not me'ikar adin. It's a very nice practice, but it's something we're not obligated to absolutely do. In his commentary on Chumash, Rabbeinu Bechaya writes as well in our parsha that milah is considered like a karban, and therefore he extrapolates from there something a little bit different. He says, kishem, the same way shekasa b'karban that we find, the psukim tell us, by the offering of a karban, v'achlu asam asher kupar bahem, by a karban, when does the Baal HaKarban, when does the person who offered the karban get the atonement for the karban that they brought? Says the Pasuk, Va'achlu asam asher kupar bahem. Once the karban is eaten, that's when the atonement is gotten. And therefore, says Rabbeinu Bechaya, the same way that Achilas HaKarban is the kapara, so too he says, Kach Yisrael osim suda b'yom hamila. To serve for our mechilas avonos, to serve as the completion of our offering, of our carbon by the bris milah, we have a practice that we have a Seuda by a Brismila. And there, writes Rabbeinu Bechaya, is the idea, once again, patterned off of Karbanos, because we want to have the complete experience, not just offering the Karban, but also reaping the benefits of a Mechilas Avonos. So, the very famous Sefer Tameam and Hagim quotes something that I never would have found on my own. He quotes it from the Bnei Yisachar. I'm not an avid reader of the Bnei Yisachar, but here, this is quoted in very general Svarim. He quotes from the Bnei Yisachar in the Sefer Agra de Pircha. What does he have in the Agra de Pircha? He says in the name of one of the Rebbes of Karlin, he says in the name of the Medrash, that what? B'shash Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Eliyahu HaNavi She'itztarach Lias B'chal Bris Mila B'Yisrael. Right? The Ribbono Shel Olam tells Eliyahu HaNavi, it's your obligation to go and show up and be in attendance at every single Bris Mila that's ever going to take place in the Jewish people. Now, it's a difficult job, and the Chassam Sofer already discusses, how does Eliyahu HaNavi show up on Shabbos? It's outside of the Tchum. If Eliyahu HaNavi is not allowed to show up and be Mevasa the Geula on Shabbos, and Mashiach is not allowed to come because it's outside of the Tchum, like the Gemara says in Erevin, then how could Eliyahu HaNavi come to any Bris Mila on Shabbos? So you have all kinds of ideas, but we generally assume that Eliyahu HaNavi is certainly present at every Bris Mila that takes place. Well, says the Medrash, Eliyahu HaNavi says, Atayadata, he says to the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know Sha'ani Mekani L'Shimcha Yisbarach, you know that I'm a big Kanoi. You know that I have zero tolerance for people who violate Averis, and therefore he says, how can I show up to a Bris Mila when Baal HaBris is going to be a Baal Avera? Lo ucha lizbo lio sham. I'm not going to be able to handle being in the presence of a Baal Avera who is the one who's performing the mitzvah. And therefore, Eliyahu HaNavi says, I'd be happy to attend the Bris, but how can I go to a place where the person is going to be someone who is not an upstanding citizen? So God answers him and he says, don't worry, I'll make sure that the person who is performing the mitzvah of Bris Mila, I'm going to give him a kaparos avonos, and therefore he's no longer a Baal Aveira. So, no problem, nothing to be worried about. Eliyahu HaNavi strikes back and he says, well, that's very nice for the person who's performing the Bris, but normally at a Bris you have a whole crowd of people that comes to celebrate along with the person himself. So if he's a Baal Aveira, probably all his friends are also Baal Aveira. So what am I going to do? I'm going to show up at the Bris, I'm going to be stuck in a room with all these people who are Baal Aveira. I don't want to be there. So the Ribbono Shel Olam promises Eliyahu HaNavi nothing to worry about. He says, "Hivtichu Hashem sheyechaper l'chal hakahal." Don't worry. Anybody who's in attendance at the Bris Mila, anyone who's sitting at the meal, all of them gain a kaparas avonos, all of them get a mechilas avonos, and therefore you have nothing to worry about. You can walk into a room and be assured that you're sitting with a bunch of great tzaddikim. This is what the Tameam and Hagim quotes from the Sefer Bnei Yisachar in the name of, apparently, a medrash. Now the Bnei Yisachar himself writes in the Sefer Bnei Yisachar, admittedly, he writes, I don't know exactly where the Medrash is, and I've never seen it. And in subsequent generations, we've also tried to look for the Medrash and never found it. But that's the story. That's what they say. So, I did see something fascinating in the Sefer Halicha Shlomo. And that is, by the grandchildren of Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, they write that their grandfather had a little bit of an issue with this Medrash. And he was trying to understand, what does it mean that everybody gets a Mechilas Avonos when you come to a Bris Mila? So I can run around and eat Chazer Treif all day, and I can be Mezana with all the Arayas in the world, and I can do all the Averis that I choose to do. Then I show up to a Bris Mila, and guess what? I get a Mechilas Avonos. Is that really true? Is that what happens? Sounds like a wonderful life. Writes the Halicha Shlomo, that's not really what takes place. So they write as follows. Meragli Bepumei de Rabbeinu, our grandfather Reb Shlomo Zalman used to say all the time, there is no day that is more musugal, that is more geared toward tshuva than Yom Kippur itself. Yom Kippur is the Yom Ketz Mechilo Slicha. And even though that is the case, that Yom Kippur is the day that we gain an atonement, Eina Mechaper Ela Ima Tshuva. Yom Kippur doesn't work. It's not a magical wand that Yom Kippur, you show up to shul and you sit through Kol Nidre and all of a sudden you get a Mechilo Slicha. That's not what it means. It means if you've gone through the proper steps of tshuva, then Yom Kippur will be able to absolve you of your sins. But it's not something magical. It doesn't work by itself. And therefore he says, Mizeh yesh lumot, from here I learn as well, al kol hazmanim hamiyuchadim kisugalim lechaparas avonos. This can also extrapolate toward every other time in the year when it is famous that they are considered to be a zman for mechilas avonos. For example, he says, everybody knows, a chasen biyom chupaso, couple who gets married, is granted a Mechilas Avonos. And he says, by a Bris Mila, we all know, the Medrash says, you get a Mechilas Avonos. Is that what it means? I violate all the Averas, I go through life doing whatever I want, now I show up at a Bris Mila, or now I get married, and all of a sudden I'm absolved of all my sins, writes up Shlomo Zalman, certainly that's not what it means. It must mean that only if you do tshuva, then the Ribbono Shel Olam will accept it. Now is considered to be a very auspicious time by a Bris Mila or by a wedding, and therefore we assume that one can gain a Mechilas Avonos, but it doesn't work without the tshuva process. And therefore, writes Reb Shlomo Zalman, he disputes a little bit this claim that a person who shows up to a bris milah gets a mechilas avonos automatically. He doesn't think it is correct. So then, what does it mean that God appeases Eliyahu HaNavi by saying everybody's going to be great tzaddikim? What do you mean? If they're still the same Bali Aver that they were, Eliyahu HaNavi's not going to want to show up. Writes Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, what it means is that there is a certain hasaras hazuama. Exactly, hard to define exactly what that means, but he says when somebody does an Avera, not only do they have to do tshuva for that Avera, but there's some sort of cloud of impurity that comes around them. And therefore he writes, when you come to a bris milah, you don't get a mechila sabonos. God doesn't absolve you from your sin, but he gets rid of that terrible impurity that is hovering around you. So now Eliyahu HaNavi has nothing to be worried about. He shows up to a bris, and he's not uncomfortable with anybody. I have issues that I have to work out with the Ribono Shel Olam. I have to do tshuva for my averas that I've done. But there's no protective cloud of impurity that is hovering all around me. And therefore, writes up Shlomo Zalman, he has nothing to be concerned about with Eliyahu HaNavi coming to visit. So they write in the Sefer that he once got up at a bris milah and he shared this publicly, his feeling that it's impossible that you just get a mechilas avonos without doing tshuva. And he says, Rabbi Cheskel Levenstein, who was the famous mashkiach of the Panevizhi Yeshiva, got up at the bris and he attacked Rabbi Shlomo Zalman. He said, it's not true. He said, if the Medrash says that you get a kaparas avonos, that means you get a mechilas avonos. So they had a disagreement in front of the whole crowd whether or not this in fact is the case and whether the Medrash should be taken literally. Either way, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman writes in his Haskama that he wrote for the Sefer Otze HaBris, he writes the same idea once again, that he doesn't believe that it's just a magic wand. And in the end of it, he says, don't make light of the fact that hasaras hazuma. Don't think that's a small thing. To get rid of that cloud of impurity is also something that is very important and worthwhile, and worth participating in a bris milah just for that alone. And he says, Ashrei misha zoche lalos ulis ala ba'os hasha. Obviously, praised is a person that has the opportunity to do tshuva when they show up to a bris milah and do it the right way and actually be granted a mechila savonis on this very special occasion. Lashav el Hashem, to do tshuva and to repair your relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. Uli hishar b'makam kadsho gam la'achar habris. More important than anything else is to take that inspiration and to feel that sense of mechila savonis and say, well, going forward, I want to remain on this madrega. I want to remain on that level of relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. And that, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, is more important than anything else. That a person should walk away from those experiences and say, oh, I was a chassan and I was granted a mechila savonis. Well, now my whole life should be like that. My whole life should be a life of closeness with the Ribono Shel Olam. I went to a bris and I was granted some sort of mechila savonis. Well, I wish my whole life could be lived like that. That, he says, Ashrei to the person, praised is the person who has that attitude and that perspective of understanding that that's really what life is all about, and that's the close relationship that we are all able to